بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Ramadan is in three sets of 10 days. The first 10 days are for his rahmah, the second 10 days are for his maghfirah, and the last 10 days are for deliverance from the fire of hell. May Allah deliver all of us from the fire of hell. So you must think about this, that what should I do in the first 10 days to receive Allah's rahmah, and how do I build upon that in the second 10 days so I can receive Allah's forgiveness, His maghfirah, and how do I build upon those 20 days so that I may be delivered from the fire. The ultimate objective is to be delivered from the fire so that we have permission to enter Jannah. If you're not delivered from the fire, you won't enter Jannah. And the Quran says, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا, all of you are going to pass by and cross over Jahannam. So that is why the sequence is very important, so that we don't become complacent and we don't take Allah for granted. We don't take Ramadan for granted. We don't take our fasting for granted. Now, you've heard all of this before, mashallah. Subhanallah. Just a reminder, keep it in the back of your mind throughout the month and see how you behave so that your end goal is to be delivered from the fire of hell, which is the announcement that Allah will allow you to enter Jannah. Jannah is our return address. We came from Jannah. That's our original home. Okay? If somebody asks you, where did you come from? What should you say? What should you say? Jannah. That's our home address. And it's a return journey. إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Allah says, return. It's a return. Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna. O nafs that has become calm and tranquil and at peace with everything that Allah wants, then you must return. So going back to Jannah is our journey. But in time we have to go forward. But the Quran uses these analogies and these euphemisms so that human beings understand that their original address is Jannah. You don't come from wherever you think you came from. Okay? We all come from Adam, and Adam came from Jannah. So our return journey is to Jannah. And that's the dua we make, that at the end of 30 days, Allah takes us back where? To where we came from. That is Jannah. Okay. Now, in the surah we, mashallah, heard today, both surahs, in Surah Al-An'am at the end and Surah Al-A'raf, at least in the first half, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces to mankind a civilizational introduction to Islam through the Quran. Many of us think, and rightly so, that the Quran is a constitution. It's a constitutional document. That is correct, except that it's not always legal. It's not like the constitution of the US of A, nowhere near it, or the US of A constitution, nowhere near the Quran. Nothing like it. So it's not just a legal document. If we treat it like a legal document, then our mindset will propel us to do what? Think legally all the time. Everything is nice there. What's the legal thing here? What's the qanun here? What's the law here? What's the fiqh here? What's the do's and don'ts? Okay. Which is fine. Okay. For a few verses of the Quran, according to Imam Ghazali, 500. There are more, but according to Imam Ghazali, let's use him as an authority so that you don't get a TikTok. What's the sheikh saying? Where does he get this number from? Okay. It was amazing. People before me. 500 ayat, Imam Ghazali says, can be called legal ayat of the Quran. And how many ayat are there? 6,000 plus. So from the 6,000 plus, how many ayat are legal? 500, give or take, maybe 600. Maybe more than 600, we don't know. But not more than that. So if the whole ummah is focusing on the Qur'an as a legal document, as the constitution of Islam Muslims, then that is not necessarily the most accurate representation of the Qur'an. Then what does all the other ayat say? So, we say, meaning the ulama say, we didn't get it from thin air. We, meaning the ulama who have studied the Qur'an and Sunnah for how many centuries now? 1400. We say the Qur'an is first and foremost and primarily a document for Islamic civilization. That's what it is. It is a public document which you can read now in translations. And if you know the Arabic, mashallah, subhanAllah. So when you read the Qur'an and you have this lens and this focus that we are now going to read the Qur'an as a civilizational code, this is who we are as Muslims. Independent of the law, independent of the constitution, independent of the fiqh, independent of the do's and don'ts. They come afterwards. They come afterwards. So now, if a Muslim was to say, what do Muslims believe about dress? So what do we believe about dress? The Qur'an speaks. يَا بَنِي آدَمَ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسٍ يُوَارِي سَوَاتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُرُونَ. That what is our civilizational code and approach towards human dress and human attire? Well, this is a very simple issue. It's simple, but it's not simplistic. Meaning that as a civilization, the Qur'an tells us that we believe that Adam and Hawa both lived where? Where did they live? In a cave. Your parents might have come from a cave. My parents lived in Jannah. Right. Get your facts right. Our parents came from Jannah. What is Jannah? Jannah is the most creative, the most dynamic, the most beautiful, the most exotic, the most luxurious place that Allah has created. And you think people who enter there will be the stupid or cavemen? That doesn't make any civilizational sense. That's not who we are. We didn't come from parents who didn't know how to eat or to talk or to understand or to think, or least of all, how to dress. Is that right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Adam and Hawa that you must now leave Jannah. He stripped them of their clothing and he sent them down to earth. We all know this. We all believe this. And they came down and they didn't have the clothes they had in Jannah. Which clothing? The clothing of Jannah, subhanAllah. What is the clothing of Jannah? The Qur'an speaks in many ayat about the clothing of Jannah. That is made of the most refined silk for men and women. The Prophet ﷺ said that in Jannah there is a special bazaar, souq, where both husband and wife will go and select their yarn of silk. And every thread will be more beautiful and exotic than the second thread. And you will be the custom-made, tailor-made clothing from where? The most exotic, okay, yarn of silk that any human being could imagine and beyond that. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said about Jannah. Now, you go and figure, what's your civilizational code about dress? That your parents came from a place where they knew how to dress. And they dressed in the most luxurious, exotic of dresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afforded them. And when they came down to earth, they didn't have anything except the leaves that they had from Jannah. Now those leaves were huge and gigantic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya bani Adam, qad anzalna alaykum libas. O children of Adam, we have sent down, anzalna, we have sent down, we have revealed for you dress. Just as Allah sends down what? Rain. Allah sends down wahi. Allah sends down libas. Meaning in our primordial form of existence and mode of existence, human beings knew that they were made to be dressed. Not to be naked. So what's our civilizational code for dress? That we should not be naked. Any civilization that believes in nudity as being their civilizational code is not a civilization we agree with. Why? Because that's not who we are. We didn't come from the cave. We came from Jannah. And when we didn't have any clothing, Allah says, as a fadl, anzalna. You understand the words? Those of you who know some Arabic, mashallah. Anzalna means what? That we brought it down. Meaning you didn't have clothing in the dunya, because in the dunya there are no human beings besides you, Adam and Hawa, so we had to bring down with you the dress, with dress, the dress of Jannah. So they knew how to make dress. They knew how to weave clothing. And Jibreel alayhi salam taught them, this was in hadith, Jibreel alayhi salam taught Adam and Hawa both how to weave, how to do agriculture, how to maintain their homes, how to build. This was their sharia. This was the civilization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam and Hawa with. Why? Because for them, it was a very, very bad place compared to where they came from. Compared to Jannah, the dunya was what? Painful. Agonizing. Agonizing. That in Jannah, subhanAllah, all the mortar and the cement is made of musk and perfume, and the bricks are made of gold and silver, and everything else made of pearl, everything studded with jewels, and that's their home in Jannah. In dunya, oh, mashallah, if you make a nice varnish house after you've made your logs and all that, that's a nice house. Adam and Hawa looking at each other, give me a break. What is this? So this is your penance. This is your tawbah. This is what you should not have done if you wanted to stay there. This is what now you must recoup and go back in such a way that you deserve to live in Jannah through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl. So Adam and Hawa were guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as to how they should live their lives on earth. The first thing Allah says is libas, dress. Yuari sawatikum, that covers your private parts. The parts that should be covered in private and public. In public and private. Warisha. Once you have maintained your understanding that our civilization, this is how the Quran speaks about a code, a civilizational code. It's not a constitution that you can say, now this constitution is good for this part of the, this side of the Atlantic, not for the other side of the Atlantic, this continent, not for Africa or anybody else. No. Human beings, regardless who they are, the Quran is speaking to all human beings, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam. Now every child of Adam, meaning it's not what? Contextual, and it's not endemic, it is not specific to any locale, any time, any geographical or any climate, is speaking to the whole children of species who is now from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that libas is God sent. Libas is what? God sent. If, meaning is even before primordial, pre-primordial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined for human beings that they should be dressed and not undressed. Yuvari Savatigu Varisha. And the second part, which is mentioned here, is that there is a sense of adornment and beauty, but not at the expense of being what? Undressed. You can't be beautified in dress that makes you undressed. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said, that towards the end of time, a sign of the Day of Judgment will be, there will be people and women who will be wearing clothing, that they'll be wearing clothing, but they'll be naked. Kasiyatin, Ariyat. Kasiyat, meaning that, wearing clothing, Ariyat, they're naked. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned the ummah that make sure that when you understand this foundational principle, this fundamental issue, this civilizational code which the Quran represents, then you must go with what the Quran is saying. Yeah. Now, if you say this is a constitution, they say, maybe this constitution, maybe the founding fathers of the constitution didn't intend this way; they intended this way. That's the trap. As I've always said to all of you here, that if you start thinking in the way of post-enlightenment thinking and legal rights and human rights, then you'll fall into that trap that every ayah of the Quran, every hadith will be filtered through this channel, through this funnel, through this lens, that no, it doesn't make sense in the context that we live. How can you say to people that they are uncivilized? We're not saying that. The Quran is saying that. And do you believe in the Qur'an? Yes. No, but the Qur'an's contextual. No, it's not. Ya Bani Adam. It's not contextual. So we must be clear as to how we see the Qur'an. The Qur'an is a code for the Muslim civilization from Adam until the last Muslim who lives on this planet. From Adam until the last person who lives on this planet, that is why it is a revelation. It is what? A revelation. It reveals the truth. It speaks the truth. So in this surah, named Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the word Arafa. Araf is from which word? Ayyuhul Talibun. I think we've graduated from Ayyuhul Jahilun. Ayyuhul Talibun, that makes more sense. Some of you are seekers, mashallah. Allah give us all more. Yeah, with barakah, inshallah. Ayyuh al-talibun, al-araf has a stem from arafa, which means what? To recognize, to know. As an introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the surah to introduce Islam to mankind. It's an araf. Then on the Day of Judgment, there will be a place called al-araf, which is another discussion. Anyway, that's also an introduction. That's also a landmark for certain types of people. Here, this surah is a landmark for all children of Adam, that as you study the Qur'an not just as a constitution or a legal document or a public declaration. Don't study it that way. Study it the way that Adam and Hawa would have taught you to study. And did they know about the US of A? Maybe, maybe not. Did they know about people in Africa? Maybe, maybe not. Did they know about the Aborigines and the Pygmies in South America? Maybe. They're all children of Adam. Everybody is children of Adam. So this is a new lesson in the sense that it has not been presented this way before, although the content is always there. So, what's the lesson? That the Qur'an is not limited to fiqh, which you all know. Number two, it is not just a constitution for Muslims or for a Muslim government, which is also okay. That you may use the Qur'an as a constitutional base and a basis for your legal constitution in any country, which is fine. But it's much more than that. Much more than that. The Qur'an speaks of civilizational codes that if you want to return to the place where you came from, this is the behavior you will need. You got that? Yeah. I mean, it's not just for the dunya. Is it just for the dunya? Why do you pray? Why do you bow down and make sadda every mashallah 20 rakats and we're kind of sweating, perspiring, and when he says he's going to finish it? Right? With all due respect to the Khufaz. Allah give them more with ajar and barakah. MashaAllah. I'm not just talking about them, everywhere in the world. When's he going to go into ruku? Why do we do all this? Because of love for the dunya? No. It's love for the akhirah. Why do we fast so long? Because we want to show our neighbors that we fast? You want to show your colleagues at work you fast? Why do you fast? Why do you go through all this turmoil and all this trouble and all this mujahada? Because you want to return to your place of origin. You want to return to your place of origin, which is Jannah. And where is Jannah? It is after you die. So for the Muslim, he must read the Quran, not just for the dunya, but also for the akhirah, and also to get back into Jannah. And in Jannah you'll see the Quran will have another meaning. The Quran will have added meaning in the Quran. And you'll see in Jannah, and you'll see you'll be blown away by all the fruits of Jannah, that the fruits of Jannah and all the rewards of Jannah will represent one ayah of the Quran, or one letter of the Quran, or one word of the Quran, or one surah of the Quran. You'll see it'll be an amazing phenomenon to see the Quran actually in motion in Jannah. So, the most fundamental rule for Muslims in the US of A is that do not make the Quran contextual to the US of A. If you do that, you'll be committing an injustice to you. Never mind the Quran. People will preserve the Quran, people will memorize the Quran, people will preserve the content of the Quran, and people will preserve the meaning of the Quran. But that doesn't help you if you've distorted the meaning of the Quran. So when you are reading the Quran or studying the Quran, approaching the Quran, do not assume that it speaks to the US of A, because it does not. It speaks to you as a citizen of Jannah, not a citizen of this country, because this country is contextual. Have you ever realized that? That your existence is also contextual. So, if it is for all human beings and for all times, then in that rubric you can say it has so much value to the US of A also. Right? In that sense. Then you know where you stand, then you know where Allah stands, then you know where the Quran stands, then you know the Prophet ﷺ is a Nabi for who? Who is a Nabi for? All human beings and for all times. He is Rasulullah. He is a Rasul for all human beings at all times, not just for a few select people who do this and that and have ideas about the Ummah in the 21st century. It is for all people and for all times. So since this is a month of Ramadan where the revelation is coming down, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, the revelation is coming down, and as we witness in the revelation, not only through the recitation of the Huffaz, but also through our own recitation at home, and also every second in Ramadan, the Qur'an is being revealed somewhere. The Qur'an is being recited somewhere on the planet. Right? In Ramadan. Every second of Ramadan, the Qur'an is being recited. And you can prove that scientifically, 10 times over. So the Qur'an has been revealed in Ramadan. So when the Qur'an says the Qur'an is revealed in Ramadan, it is an accurate statement, it is a true statement, it is a factual statement. So when you witness that, then you say, okay, what is the purpose of Ramadan and the Qur'an being revealed in it? It is for us to go back to where we came from, and that is Jannah, and that is the meaning of life. There is no greater meaning of life than this. If you contextualize it to you, to your life, to your problems, to your issues, to your community, to your time, to your country, to whatever it is that you think is good or not so good, then you'll be missing out on the great goodness of the Qur'an. And this is how the Sahaba excelled in their understanding of the Qur'an, because they saw the Qur'an as a guide towards how to live in Jannah. First and foremost. Once you get that right, then you get this world right also. But if you get that wrong, then you get this world wrong also. That's how the Qur'an now becomes a guide and a furqan for all of us, a criterion. And with this, inshallah, we make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to understand the Qur'an the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the Qur'an, and make it easy for us to represent the Qur'an the way the Sahaba represented the Qur'an. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His fadl upon us in these first 10 days with His rahmah and continue with His maghfirah, and then inshallah climatize it with His with His deliverance from the fire of hell. Amin ya rabbal alamin. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.